everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Autism Mom Life Podcast. This podcast is a safe place where, just like the spectrum that autism is, we will cover a number of different topics. This is a village for people who need support and a place to educate those who are impacted by autism. So let's share our stories, successes, and failures alike to help each other grow. This week we have a special guest named Malia. She is another autism mom. Malia, tell us about yourself.
My name is Malia. I'm 24. So I have experience with children with autism, not only people in my family. I did adopt a child a couple years ago. I adopted him with everything that he came with. That includes autism, a brain injury, and cerebral palsy, all from when he was 3 months old. I've worked with autistic children. I have experience as an ABA therapist. Some people know what that is and some people don't know what that is. It's very different for everybody and depending where you are. But I do think it's very helpful, and I'm very grateful to have had that opportunity.
That's awesome. So what drew you to the field of working with people with special needs?
I'd say, one, they're very sweet people, very sweet people. Their brain just works in a different way, than other people's, but nobody's brain works the same way. So, that was part of it. And just seeing how they're treated. I think some people kind of alienate them a little bit or think they're just like vegetables and that they can't do anything. When most of the time they're smarter than us. So. Yeah. They're fully aware of what is going on.
Yeah, I'm using daddy's phone.
They're some of my favorite people. Some of my favorite people.
You know what? Mine too. So I also, of course, am an autism mom. I have two children on the spectrum. The little boy you heard in the background, that's my 3-year old. Henry Gray, and he is he's neurotypical, but he is a handful, and he's all boy and a ball full of fun. So my son Cash, you're one of my TikTok followers, and yes. So you're familiar with Cash, and I do share my story on TikTok. And you know, recently I've gained a lot of followers because of going viral. That was never my intention. You know, I didn't ever post anything thinking, oh, this is going to be it. This is going to lead down this path. It definitely has. And I have found that we have a very large lack of understanding of what autism is. And understanding that when you see person with autism, you only see one person with autism, you know, and we, I know myself specifically, I used to think autism was like Rain Man, like every autistic person was like Rain Man. You drop a box of toothpicks and you know how many are on the floor and how many are on the box. And of course, I've learned in my experience that that is definitely not the case. So, what has been your experience? What have been some of your victories and some of your challenges with your son?
With my son, some of the victories that we've had, just I did adopt him. He was he had some abuse happen at 3 months old, and I know the family. But the doctors were saying, and part of it is the brain injury, but doctors saying like he'll never be able to walk or talk or feed himself or, you know, do anything. We've been able to accomplish all of that. He still does need a little bit of assistance eating, because he will just stuff his face and not chew, which is kind of common with some autistic children. Yeah. In my experience, you know, working with them. So he just really needed a chance, somebody to, I could see he wanted to walk. He's pulling himself up on things. I adopted him when he was 2, he was turning 3, and he couldn't walk or talk. All he could say was no. Yeah. So I could see he wanted to do these things. He was trying to talk. He was trying to walk. So I did everything I needed to do to get him there.
Right.
The only thing he can't do by himself fully is get dressed or use the restroom. Those are the only challenges that we face. But I've worked with autistic children and having to potty train them. And it's not easy. Potty training any kid is not easy.
So, no. My potty training experience for a second, because so with Cash, my mama growing up always had told me my brother was potty trained at like 9 months old, something crazy. But you mm-hmm. have to know my brother, he's a classic overachiever and in everything that he does. And so because of that, I was like, well, I can potty train a baby at 9 months old. Mm-hmm. Sure. And
no problem.
I was wrong. I've not raised a single baby at 9 months old. And I probably will never accomplish that. We tried potty training at the typical 18-month to 2-year age. And at that point, we were already suspicious of there being autism. And so I was very, very naive. You know, I didn't know anybody with autism. I knew one girl I worked with whose son was autistic, but we weren't very close. You know, I would see her at work. It just wasn't real, if that makes sense. And that's maybe a poor choice of word, but I was very, very naive, you know, when it came to what autism was. And so...
I want to talk to you.
You want to say something? No, sorry. So, that being said, okay, sorry. That being said, I had to determine that, you know, it's okay if Cash, we tried it too, and he would succeed for a short time. And then set back.
Yes.
And that was very common over the years. And so I finally decided for myself, I said, you know what? If he's 20 years old and in a pull up, then that's okay. And that was that. I had to accept that, you know, and that was a journey for me. And now I had Cash first, so he was my baseline. I'd never been around babies a whole mm-hmm. lot before. I didn't have younger brothers and sisters. I had nieces and nephews, but we're all pretty close to the same age. So
yeah,
Cash was really my baseline as to what babies were. Maybe
it's your daddy or
mom.
No,
I'll send me. Okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Yep, this is a Mom Life podcast, guys. You're gonna hear Mom Life. All right, so with Cole, we were told that, you know, Emma Grace, our youngest one, she does my sissy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we were told that because she was neurotypical, that we would, that she would surpass the boys at some point. And so for me, it was like having triplets in different ages and sizes. They all talking at the same time. They all potty trained, like finally potty trained when she potty trained. So they've met a lot of their big milestones together. And
that's good.
4 years between her and Cash and 3 years between her. I'm sorry, 14 months between her and Colt. So Cash was 7 when he was potty trained. Colt was 3 and Sissy was 2. But again, I had to realize that if he's 20 in a pull-up, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would be fine. I'm still working on potty training with mine, so... He's 7 right now, so hopefully before he's 8, yes, we could get there. But if not, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. Honey?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We got an extra guest on the podcast.
Yeah, you have a blue truck. That's so cool. I like it. I like your blue truck.
So
a blue monster truck.
Blue monster truck. Wow. That's so nice.
So
does it go very fast?
Yes.
That's blue. Alright, so let me talk.
Color.
Yep. Blue color monster truck. So, you know, I'm on TikTok. You're one of my followers, of course. And yes. So, I did want to talk about something that I've been accused a lot of lately.
Mm-hmm.
That's exploiting my child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never intended to go viral. I've posted regularly on TikTok for the last 4 years, you know. But this brought a lot of good attention.
No, you can't hold the cord.
It's brought a lot of good attention, and it's brought some negative attention also. Okay. Hold on one second. Okay. Somebody is sleepy. Sorry. Oh, gosh. I don't feel like I'm exploiting cash because, you know, my intent is not to show him off like like an animal in a cage, so to say, you know. And so I've took some time this week and to actually look up what exploiting, what the definition is. And so what it is when a person uses a child for financial gain, sexual gratification, labor, or personal advantage. And, you know, being a content creator on TikTok, you do get paid, but it's not, that's not why I do it, first off. Like I said, I've been sharing our lives on there for 4 years. So, what do you think about that? What is your opinion?
My opinion, I don't feel like you're exploiting him because I have followed you for some time and I've seen a lot of your videos. You're not making him do anything or work or making him like be on the camera. The way I see it, you're more so setting up the camera just in a moment. You know, I do the same thing. My child is also on my page here and there, but not all the time. But because I work all the time. So, but if that's exploitation, then everybody is exploiting their child. Because there's some parents who make their children do toy reviews or do food reviews. Or they're actually making them do something because they're gaining the money from that. And then that child is now working.
Hello?
So, hi. in my opinion, I don't see it that way. I see what you're doing as like, hello? What most people do is like a day in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like daily vlog.
Daily vlog, day in my life. You're not making him do anything. You know, and I do see some comments from people are like that you're making him be on the camera. Mm-hmm. I don't see that. I don't see you telling him like, okay, sit here. He's not sitting perfectly. He's doing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, so what would be the difference to me? We're just showing our children with autism and then other people are showing their day-to-day, but we're still showing our children. Our children are still on the camera, but I think it's just because there's a lot of people were saying that, like, Cash can't consent, your children can't consent, my child can't consent to being on camera, but neither can the other children.
No.
A lot of the other children who are babies or, you know, younger, they also can't consent to being on camera and say that they want to do this. So what is the difference
right.
between an autistic child and a quote unquote regular, typical child or family? Right. I don't think it's exploitation.
Well, thank you. And that's a really good point. That's actually a point I had not considered. But yeah, you have some children who have their own YouTube pages or their own YouTube channel or their own TikToks, you know, for that reason.
And those were not those children's ideas. You know that those children are too young to know, like, oh, I want to be a YouTuber, I want to do this. Some of those children are way too young to know that. Right. I don't think you're showing Cash in any harmful way. You are showing some of his behaviors, but that's typical with autism. A lot of people think children with autism are just like big babies or vegetables and don't know anything. They have their own feelings. They have their emotions. They have their own set of boundaries that they like, even if they can't communicate it. And I've worked with children who are autistic, who are aggressive, a lot more aggressive than what I've seen with Cash. I've worked with them. I have scars from them. It has been a battle, but they have their own boundaries and they'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I think Cash, from what I've seen, he has enough vocabulary to tell you no. If you set up the camera, I think he has enough vocabulary to tell you no. And that he doesn't want to be on the camera. My child, too. If he doesn't want to be on camera, he'll tell me no. You know, he'll swat the camera away, you know, stuff like that. So.
And I'm
but yeah.
Ash has been posting his own TikToks.
I've been seeing them.
I know. He had my phone quite a bit today. So if you're listening, what were all those posts? It was Cash.
Yes.
He did a green screen effect. He took a picture of me walking by and then put like the planet Mars over me or something.
Yeah.
And if you notice a lot of times too in the videos, like he looks at the camera. And that's why, you know, a lot of people ask me why, you know, I don't show my other children. And that kind of thing. And, you know, I asked him, and because, okay, so are they of legal age to consent? No. But as a parent, if my child says, I don't want to be, you know, on TikTok, then I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Out of respect for
them. Yes.
Because once you put it out there, it's out there forever. You know?
Yes.
And now there's been so many times my little girl, she wants to do a TikTok, especially these popular dances.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do a TikTok. And then I'll ask her, hey, do you want to do a TikTok with mommy? And she's like, no. So that's why.
I think more so it's become a problem on TikTok. Because if you go to Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, nobody's saying those things. And people post their children all the time.
Yes.
But no, they're not getting those comments like, oh, you're just, you know, using them for views and money. It's only on TikTok that I've found. Other places, I don't know. It's very weird.
And I have a large misconception on the amount of money that you get from TikTok.
Yes.
And I was just telling my husband this. So I had a video from last week. It was from a couple of years ago. We were in our living room. And we were in our living room and it was Cash working through an episode. And at that time, I was not very familiar with ABA. So it was a what not to do video. What's wild to me is, I'll talk about the money aspect and then about the comments. So that video, I haven't looked at it this evening, but the last I looked, it had like 3.2 million views. Well, my pay rate for that specific video is actually less than one penny per 1,000 qualified views. And there's like all these criteria. So for that video, I've made $2.04. So, I think people have a misconception of, they think, oh, 3.2 million views, she's made thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, when that's really not the case. You know what I mean? And two, it really surprised me because on that video, thank you for giving that to me.
There you go.
Yeah. So, on that video, I got more compliments in my reaction. And I was like, that's a what not to do video, you know. I did try to regulate myself, but I wasn't as calm as I could have been, as calm as I am now. I was emotionally reactive. You know, there were a lot of things that I did wrong. As far as trying to de-escalate it, that I know better now. And the comments were like, yeah, that's what you need to do. And I think that, again, like we've been saying, comes back to this misconception about autism and how to manage these behaviors.
Yes. Even with my son, if I am de-escalating, he's not very aggressive to other people, but he will self-harm. So he started that back up in the last couple of days, like slap himself, punch himself, on things like that. And even with my ABA training and my knowledge of autism, sometimes those things just don't work. Yeah. You do have to constantly reevaluate the situation. What are good reinforcers? What is a positive reinforcer? What is a negative reinforcer? Because children, they're not going to stay the same. They're just like regular people. Their desires and everything change. So you do constantly have to reevaluate the situation and see what can work and what doesn't work.
Right. And it's like that with all children, really, you know.
Yes, all children.
And I think that's something too, is it, when people hear special needs, they kind of put kids in the box. When we just have a few extra things, you know, to manage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they're still children, just like any other child.
So, exactly.
And so a few years ago, I coined this phrase. And I actually started the hashtag on TikTok. It wasn't a hashtag. And I found out I've done two of those. But this one is, with education will come acceptance. That is something that came to mind.
My pumpkins.
Yes.
Pumpkins.
More pumpkins. That was something that came to mind several years ago, because I really felt like, you know, yes, two more. I really felt like if we could educate people about autism and about, you know, the different levels and how, you know, all autistic individuals are exactly that. They're individuals. No two are alike, just like no two people are alike.
Exactly.
If we could educate the general public about autism, and maybe then these behaviors.
I want to get that.
Okay. You want to get some water?
No, I want to get that.
Maybe if we could educate the general public, then there wouldn't be such this significant emotional response to seeing these behaviors. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because we've got this response on TikTok, but I don't know if you've experienced this with your son, but in a public place, in the midst of a meltdown or a behavior, people generally, you have people who freeze, you have people who stare. It's, in my experience, it's very seldom that you have anybody to come and try to help. It's don't know what to do. They don't know what it is you're dealing with, and that naivety can lead to misjudgment.
Yes. In my experience right now, my child, Caden, he's had meltdowns in public before. Nobody has came to my aid or helped me. They do kind of just stare and they're like, oh my God, like, you should do this, you should do this. But those things just won't work for him in his situation. So I have had to tell a couple people, like, he's okay. He has autism. He's just upset right now. He'll calm down in about a minute. Like, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, again, they think like autism is these people are vegetables and they just don't know anything. And how people used to say like mental retardation. I think a lot of people associate autism with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Even in my experience with work, people are very sensitive to them, which is fine. But they don't realize that these kids are a lot smarter and they know more that's going on than they might let on. So I think a lot of people, they do just have one view of autism, but also you might have that family member who collects all of these things and nobody's ever allowed to touch them, or they just know all of this random information about like keyboards. Those are also signs of autism. It doesn't look the same for everybody. Not all autistic children like the same things. Not all of them like the same things to even calm down. In my experience for work, I was told a lot that by my clinical team that when they're upset, you know, offer them deep breaths, hand squeezes, arm squeezes. Not all of them like that. A lot. Some of them hate that. And you just have to learn from it when you start, you know, touching them and squeezing them. Some of them, it's music. Some of them, okay, let's just take a walk. Some of them, they'll just be upset for the moment and then they'll forget about it 2 seconds later.
Right.
So it's really, it's per individual, it's per case, per person, whatever they like. And it's just learning, you know, but for anybody, for any child, it's learning. I've been a foster parent as well. Not only to my son before I adopted him, but I've had two little girls as well. Very different.
Yes.
So nobody's the same. No child is the same. I've seen some people say like, oh, just send the kids away. I feel like you should give them a chance first, unless it's something that is absolutely unbearable. And I've seen people say like, oh, just medicate the kids. That doesn't work for everybody. My child, personally, he does have medication, but it doesn't work all the time. Sometimes he will fight it. And then we can't up the dosage anymore. He's only 7. There's nothing more, you know, I can do besides try to help him regulate his emotions and communicate what he's feeling. Because to some people, it might not be that big of a deal. But if my son gets on the bus in the morning to go to school and he doesn't have his Pokemon, like, plush toy, Squishmallow, it'll be a meltdown. So, you know, it's just learning, just like any other kid, what they like, what they don't like, what works for them, what reinforces them, what makes them happy, what's going to give them a consequence, but also make them think about their consequence, you know, to receive, you know, what they want.
So it's something I thought about today, and I'm sure that you could speak on this before we leave, is I thought about if we tell a child or anyone, okay, you need to go to your room and calm down, right? If they're upset. If they do not have the tools for emotionally regulating themselves, then we're sending them in a room to fail. We're setting them up.
Yes. Fail.
If you do not give them the tools to learn, okay, this is what you do to cope. This is what you do to calm down. You know, we take neurotypical people. I feel like we take a lot of that stuff for granted, of just being taught to, you know, calm down and being able to self-regulate, because not all individuals are able to. And that's something I'm learning with Cash, as you know, I have to give him the tools in order to be successful, you know. And you think yes. about that in the big picture of, you know, academics and, you know, financial literacy and that kind of thing with typical children, especially as they get older and independence. But when you have children like ours, you know, it's on a smaller scale, but yes. it's not any less important, you know. In fact, it's really more important for them to be able to have those tools to succeed and be able to complete life skills as, you know, as they grow.
Yes.
So, and this is something that I learned recently is you're in California, correct?
Yes.
And I have a lot of resources.
Yes.
I accidentally learned about this because our BCBA, she's from California, and she was calling trying to find some resources, and she Googled, like personal care aids and such, just to get me some kind of help with things, you know, for activities of daily living and things like that. So she Googled it, and then she called the number, and she talked to this lady, and when she's like, you've got to call her, she's got everything you need. And I was like, great. And I called, and she's like, she said something about a regional center, and I was like, I don't even know what that is. You know, we don't have those.
Yeah. So,
what the regional center is. And then she said, I'm HSS, I think.
Yes.
And I was like,
HSS, yes.
And she said, wait a minute, are you in California? I said, no, ma'am, I'm in North Carolina. And she said, are you moving to California? And I said, no, ma'am, not planning on it, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm so sorry, you know, we're specifically in California. And I was like, okay. And then I started researching, and I said, wow, y'all have a lot of great resources.
Yes.
Now, is that statewide? Is it all across the state? Or is it in certain areas you have better resources than others?
Certain areas you will have better resources than others. And it depends on the company. There's a couple different, you know, companies that do all of that and offer different services and benefits. I do have IHSS. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit of extra income for me, which is, it goes very quickly. It's not like thousands and thousands of dollars, but my child is still in diapers. He's in pull-ups, so I do have to buy pull-ups, and he has medical shoes that he wears, and I have to buy the shoes and then provide them, so it's not like free stuff, but that money does help. So I do have IHSS. We do work with Regional Center. We worked with them for a little bit. We're not currently working with them. I want to get him reevaluated. He needs an MRI first because he does have a brain injury. We've never had an MRI. So I'd rather get that out of the way so that we can better help him. Because what we're doing is working, but he also has a brain injury. I'd rather, you know, uncover some of that to see how we can better, you know, assess him. With the regional center is the ABA therapy. So right now, I don't live in an area where I can take him to a center every day. So they'd rather do home sessions, but they're driving 30 miles to come to me. And they want to do 5 hours a day. I work, so I can only do about 2 hours a day, you know? But they do have great resources. If I did live somewhere that was closer to a center, I would be able to receive the sources for like ride share. Somebody can get him from school and take him to the ABA therapy center, and then I can just pick him up after work from there. So that's also something that I don't have to think about, the, you know, taking the time out of my day to get him from school and then get him to the center and then get home. If I lived closer, you know, they would help me with that. And they help with speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. They help with a lot. There's a lot of resources. I don't live close to all of them, but I'm taking what I can. And I have experience in it, so I don't feel I need too much help, because I've had all the training that they've had. So I, you know, but it is different if somebody else is working with your child and you're working with your child, because your child knows you and know what they can get away with.
Yes.
So.
Trained as an RBT or assistant BCBA or a BCA? BCBA, I'm sorry.
I was RBT. I finished all of my courses to get my BCBA. But then that just didn't happen with that company. I just had to leave that company, but all the courses are done. I just didn't take the state test, but I have all the knowledge. I have all the training. But with that company, it just wasn't going to work for me. And I was driving 40 miles to go to work every day, 6 days a week. Wow. So, I found a different job that's 10 minutes from my house. So I'd rather take that.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, so having had ABA therapy over the years, I just got a, I took this as a very big compliment last week. Our assistant BBA, she was going to do the parent training for me to get my RBT to make sure I had all the knowledge. Although, you know, of course, I can't work my own child. And she said, really, you've got it. You know, you've done it. What you're doing is correct. And so that gave me like this really big boost of confidence that, okay, yeah, I do know what I'm doing, you know. So it is great knowledge to have. So that
what I've seen from your videos, everything is correct. When you're taking the courses or the tests or whatever, it's just terminology. But you've got it. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, well, thank you. So in North Carolina, we're in a very rural part of North Carolina. We have more resources in our larger cities, but we're about 30 miles from there, unfortunately. And because of Cash's size and his behaviors, we've had an RBT in the past who was brand new to the field, and we learned that that's just not the best fit for us. We loved that RBT tremendous, but just because of where Cash is and where we are, it's just not a good fit for us. And we don't want to set somebody else up for failure.
Yes.
Encourage them, because when you are new to the field of ABA and you work with a child like Cash without any experience, I'm sure it can be very daunting and overwhelming.
It can. Yes.
I'm his mother. I've been with him every day for 12 years and 12 and a half years. And I have days where it's daunting and overwhelming. So I can only imagine having, you know, never done this before. That's one thing we learned. And so, unfortunately, and too, with his size, you know, there is that concern. And so the thought from a few of the ABA companies that we've worked with is that, you know, a male RBT would be preferential because of Cash's size. And he is more inclined to comply with the demands from a male than a female. But I don't know how it is in California, but in our experience, a male RBT is virtually impossible to find.
Same thing in California. There's not a lot of male RBTs. Everyone I worked with at my center was female besides like our lead, but he's been with the company for years, but he doesn't really work hand on hand with the children. When we're short staffed, he will, but that's not primarily, you know, his job. And he was big and tall. So he was able to handle some of the other children that when they do get a little bit aggressive, he's able to handle it a little bit more. He has a little bit more strength than us, but it's not a field that I see many men in. Even with my son having ABA, we've only had female therapists. A lot of parents, at least the center I was at, they prefer that.
Yeah.
Even the center I worked at, all boys, besides one little girl, but most of the parents preferred women to work with their children, just because women might be a little more compassionate. Yeah. But still, it's kid to kid. You know, I might be a little bit more compassionate with the 3-year-old than I am with the 12-year-old, because me and the 12-year-old are the same size and weight. So there's a little bit more of a challenge there. So yeah, in California, there's not a lot of male RBTs. But hopefully in the future, when people learn a little bit more about it and they have a little bit more experience with children with autism, that maybe there'll be more people in the field. And I know even when I go out and I take my son out to the grocery store or anything, I'm not seeing a lot of children with autism, although I know that they're out there.
Yes.
I find a lot of parents tend to keep their children home a little bit more. I know it is a sensory difficulty with most of the children. So a lot of people just aren't used to seeing them in like an everyday at the grocery store, at a restaurant, you know, type of thing. But hopefully in the future, there's a little bit more education and science behind it, and then more people are willing to go into that field. It's very fun. It's not all the time stressful. It's very fun.
Yeah. If I wasn't at home every day with Cash, I believe that's what I would do. But he needs me at home. But like you were saying, you know, I feel like that's something that as autism parents or special needs parents in general, because of misconceptions out there and because of previous experiences, it's very easy to isolate yourself.
Yes.
And your personal anxiety of, you know, until we started ABA this time around, I wouldn't go to like Walmart with Cash because of my anxiety, just the idea. It was just overwhelming. It was not worth whatever I needed from Walmart or whatever store. Let's get him in safely and, you know, make sure he doesn't elope, and, you know, or, you know, have a meltdown, and it's all these things. It's just a lot of times it's a lot easier to isolate yourself and just stay at home. But too, I feel like, and this is just my personal opinion, I feel like that in itself is a disservice in a way. It was for me. It might not be for everybody, but it was for me. I feel like it was a disservice to me and to Cash to isolate ourselves in our home, regardless of my reasoning behind it. But now some days I still make that decision, depending on how our day's going.
Yes, you know? Me too. I'll still make that decision depending on how our day is going. Okay, maybe you can go with me to the store. Maybe you can't today. But I do have family at home as well. And it's like, if I just need to run and get a couple of things, I know I'll be quick. I'll just leave him home. But if he's having a good day, he loves to go to the store.
Yeah.
Like, it's really no problem. And he's small enough. Still, he's only 7. He's very skinny, very light. So he's small enough that if he is trying to elope, I can still put him in the basket. Right. I can still pick him up and get him in there. But he's getting bigger. So eventually I won't be able, you know, to do that. But so the stores right now, he loves going to the store because he has a fixation right now on plushies. All the little, like, and all the Valentine stuff is still out for February, and all the Easter stuff is out now. So all the baskets he loves.
Yes.
He has a fixation on that and balloons. Balloons are his most favorite thing in the world. And there's balloons at every store. So I can't go into a store without buying him a balloon or there's a meltdown. And I'd just rather not have it. So I think the only thing right now we're avoiding is restaurants. Right now, there's just too much. There's too many people talking and there's music going and there's dishes and there's food and people are walking way too much for him. So that's the only thing I think I'm excluding is like restaurants. And that's about it. But I also felt like because I did have an experience one time. We went to go grab something from Subway. Mm-hmm. And I brought him into Subway with me just because I was scared to leave him in the car. I'm still scared to leave him in the car, especially in California. People will walk around and look in your windows all the time. And if there's a child in there, like, you're done for. Although he can get himself in and out the car, you know, if he needs to. But I took him into Subway with me. There was a lady there who I guess she just didn't agree or something with autism. She doesn't feel like those people should exist. So we went into Subway and this lady's yelling at me. I haven't said anything to her. Nobody else in line has said anything to her, but my son is stimming. He will flip his lip with his thumb a little bit. She told me he should have been aborted. He should never be alive. It's a disservice to him. Like, I'm torturing him, you know, and all of that. And then after that, I kind of was like, I would take him into stores more, but not restaurants. Restaurants he still can't handle right now. But I was like, no, he needs to be out a little more. If that's how people feel, like, we're going to go outside a little bit more just so that people can see him and know that he's fine. He's not in any pain. I'm not tormenting him. Like, he's okay. But those comments, that was the first time ever that I ever, you know, got anything like that. Most people, when they hear that I've adopted him and he has disabilities, they think I'm like a saint sent from heaven, you know, which a lot of people, even working with children with autism, a lot of the parents and other people, when I tell them that that's my line of work, they're like, God bless you and all this, but they're regular people. I'm just working with children. That's how I see it. I'm just working with children.
Yes.
It's not like I'm trying to be super holy, you know, or anything like that. But I'd rather them have a little bit more exposure than be at home all the time. Because eventually at some point they do need to leave their house.
Yes, exactly. You
know, some of them are able and capable of one day living on their own and doing things for themselves and cooking for themselves. So they do need that experience to go to the grocery store and see where things are at. And see, like, the cost of everything and pick out their own items and their own clothes. I think a lot of that is very important.
Yeah. We actually went to the grocery store today. Now, I had the buggy. And Cash, you know, I have to remind him to stay close to me when we're in a store because he does like to elope. And now when he was younger, he would elope, but he would just start of the store. He wouldn't go outside. He would just perimeter. But now, you know, I like to keep him where within arm's reach. And halfway finished grocery shopping. And he found a basket, like just one of the grocery store baskets on this random aisle. Mm-hmm. And he picked up. And then he went to the end of the aisle and he got him an item one of his preferred items. It was strawberry donuts. Mm-hmm. And then he went and got something else. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's grocery shopping.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, he's getting what he wants and putting it in a basket.
And he knows what he wants.
Yeah. Yes. And so we actually even did it as a separate transaction. So he got to have his bag of his items that he chose. And
that's nice.
Yeah. And so, and I try to look for opportunities. Now today, that was a happenstance opportunity. That was just a very learning moment, you know, but I do try to find those opportunities of teaching him how things work. You know, you put your food here, they scan it, you give them money or your card, they give you a receipt. Mm-hmm.
Because
those are the life skills that somebody, that the people, all of us have to have, you know. So, well, I guess.
And with ABA, I just want to add, when you're able to, I don't know if you are or if you're not, but if it's allowed where you are, I'm not sure, for the therapist to go with you to the grocery store or go with you to the park. That's something we do in California as well. We can, if it's authorized, it has to be an authorized location where I need to be able to have Wi-Fi, you know, from my iPad, because I'm still collecting data, you know, while I'm there, and I'm still emailing, you know, back and forth. But that is something that we do offer as well in California. It's not only you can drop them off at the center and they can play with their peers or home visits. We can also go out into the community and do different events with them as well for them to get that knowledge, and just regulate, you know, those behaviors, so that they are able to go out. 'Cause that's kind of the goal a little bit.
Yeah.
We want you to regulate your emotions, find some source of independency if they're able to, and then have them be a little bit more independent. You can, instead of, you know, self-harming or harming other people, you can tell them that you're angry, or you can take deep breaths, or you can do little hand squeezes, whatever you need to, so you can regulate your emotions. But also, how do other people feel? Notice other people's emotions, and how to manage that as well. You know, just going out, doing little things, being independent, even if it's starting off by feeding yourself all the way to going to the grocery store, you know, anything. That's the end goal. You know, not for them to be normal, but for them to have their sense of normal.
Right. Because really, what is normal? You know, we're all...
Nothing's normal.
So we're all normal in our way.
Yes.
Yeah, and here we, our ABA, our RBT and BCBAs, they come to our house. We do in-home services. Mm-hmm. We do have options. Mm-hmm. But because of Cash's behaviors, we felt like it would be better to start in-home and get the behavior kind of under control before we put him in a clinic setting, especially because his particular clinic are very small. So,
yes.
That's always something to be considered, but we do have that option. So our RBT and our BCBAs, they have gone with us to the trampoline park and the, you know, the regular playground park, the grocery store, Walmart. They've accompanied us, to these places. So, and that's a great help of learning how to respond to behaviors and what tools to use in these public settings.
Yes. And I know in some of your comments, people were saying, like, he's allegedly in school or allegedly in therapy. And I just wanted to add, I think it's across everywhere that the therapists are not allowed to be on camera.
Right.
So a lot of people are like, oh, well, I don't see a therapist. I don't see this happening. Even as a parent, I'm not allowed to record his therapy sessions, because that is a HIPAA violation. So I know people are like, allegedly, because they don't see it, but it's a HIPAA violation. We're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Because there are specific things, and courses in the way that they learn, that is it's a clinical, ABA is a whole clinical team. So it's medical. It's not, you know, we can't just be on camera and doing all of this.
I want to just say thank you so much for joining me and having this conversation. Thank you for being invested in our story and following us, and it's always good to find a community of other moms who understand.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Thank you for sharing your journey, and not just the positive parts of it. A lot of people are looking just to see the positive parts, but it's not positive all the time. Even with quote unquote regular kids, it's not positive all the time. No. So it's all a learning experience for everybody, for anybody who has children. None of your children are the same, and you don't parent all of your children the same. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you for that. And I just wanted to add that starting this week, I will be adding bonus episodes. So if you are a subscriber on Apple Podcasts or Patreon, you will be able to have access to bonus episodes and have behind the scenes, so to say. I want to give a shout out. Thank you to my Patreon subscribers. And thank you to all of our listeners. You know, it's because of you that we are here. We want to help share autism education with the world, so that with education will come with acceptance. And until next time, be Lightthumber. Good night.